Thanks for tuning in to The Collective Voice. I'm your host, Raisha Clark.
Hey, hey, lovelies, it's Raisha, and I am here getting ready to introduce one of the most amazing entrepreneurs that I've had the chance to interview thus far. I'm going to put it in the show notes, but if you guys go to her website and see her sweet little face, you're not going to believe all the awesomeness that she's done in boots and in heels. I mean, she's just really done some pretty amazing things. I mean, she's quite conscientious of herself, what she puts in her body, what she exposes her family to, and now she's giving veterans and other consumers the opportunity to use a product that a lot of women use, whether they want to admit it or not, but use one that has far less chemicals, a lot more healthy for us. So anyway, I'll let her describe that in a little bit more detail. So without further ado, Vanessa, hello.
Hello, Raisha. Thank you so much for having me, and what a great introduction. That was very nice.
You're so sweet. Gosh, you got to be the most humble, amazing person I've ever met. Like, how is it that you can, you know, balance being amazing and humble and fierce and I tell you, you're neat. Like, I'm just in awe of you.
That's so nice of you to say. I think I'm going to call you every morning.
Yeah, your morning inspiration. Vanessa, you're great. No, I really and truly do appreciate you, though. I mean, you have such an awesome and unique story, and so I love that I actually get to share that with people, you know. I'm sure it won't be shared to a million people tomorrow, but, you know, the people that do actually hear this podcast, I want them just to get a piece of your awesomeness, because you have so much of light and just vibrancy, and it's just, it's neat to see. So I want you to, well, first, let's just, since we're doing a veteran series, tell me what branch of service you were in, and then we'll talk about your awesomeness too.
Okay, I was in the Air Force.
The Air Force. Okay, so... You know, I said you were awesome and all that other good stuff a little while ago, but since you were in the Army, I have to take it back just a few notches.
Do I have to hang up now?
I was like, okay, do I disconnect now or later? No, that's fine, hun. So tell me about your Air Force experience.
So I was in for 4 years. I was a technician on the navigational and the weather equipment, out on the flight line. And I did my tech school in Biloxi, Mississippi, and then I was stationed for 3 years in Alaska.
Oh my. That was an experience in and of itself. Oh my. I had a girlfriend of mine that was stationed in Alaska, and I remember she was saying that her first 2 weeks, she had to do some kind of cold weather training, sitting outside in the snow for, you know, X amount of hours to say, okay, I didn't die of hypothermia, all is well. It's like, who does that, you know? So anyway, did you have a similar experience with that as well?
I did. You have to go through all sorts of different training just because of, you know, the environment that you're in, and it's helpful too, because there's some days when, you know, you are out in the elements and you do need to keep warm, and it's nice to know that you can do it because you've done it before. So that's helpful.
Okay. Okay. So the Air Force trains you well too. Okay. They don't just leave you out to hang there. So, So you did your 4 years, you know, you knew it wasn't a life or thing for you. So what made you know, okay, you know what, it's time for me to go ahead and get out?
Yeah, so actually, I didn't know that. When I went in, I thought that that was going to be it for me. I just, I came from a family with not a lot of money. There was no way I was going to have another opportunity to go to college. We didn't have medical insurance, and, you know, consistent jobs weren't just something that came easy. And when I had the opportunity to do that, I thought it was fantastic. They gave me food. They took care of me. I had a roof over my head. I had medical insurance, which when I first joined, it wasn't insurance. It was, you know, you just went to the the base clinic, you know, I thought it was wonderful. Why would anyone leave? What else do you need?
Right, exactly. I love that. I mean, just the honesty there is so pure. I was 19 when I joined, and it was kind of the same thing. My cousin was like, well, you know, you don't have to stay in college if you don't want to. If you're just sitting there wasting time, I mean, the Army will feed you and give you like a job to do if you should, I mean, you know, you should consider. And so it's kind of a similar story in that, you know, I didn't really have an expiration date in mind. It was more or less like, wow, there are a lot of benefits. I'm only 19. I have a guaranteed paycheck, guaranteed food, guaranteed shelter, and I don't have to pay for that stuff. You know, it was just, it worked. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that honest story there, because, you know, a lot of people won't really come out and say, well, I didn't necessarily have the best scenario when I first came in. You know, so, yeah, that's kind of neat. Okay, so go ahead.
Sure. So, and once I got in and I saw all the opportunity that was there, I could go to school if I wanted to. I had my GI Bill, but I didn't qualify for it my very first year in. You have to wait, I think it's 12 months before you can use those benefits, but you are eligible for all other sorts of grants and financial aid while you're in the military and going to school. So I took every advantage of every opportunity that was there. And as soon as I could start going to school, I just went to school at night and was able to finish my bachelor's degree before my enlistment was up. And that is kind of what triggered me, along with, you know, my enlistment being up and my husband at the time, his enlistment was up. He did not want to stay in. And since I had my degree, I felt, you know, comfortable and confident that, you know, I had both experience and kind of a way to get a more stable civilian job. And I thought there's got to be other opportunities out there as well. So that's when I, you know, kind of made the decision. It was, it was still kind of something that was in my mind. Well, should I really leave? You know, it's very comfortable. You can get comfortable very easily, you know, when all your needs are being met. So I, for whatever reason, it didn't bother me to kind of lean into the discomfort. And, you know, I did feel fully trained and had a, you know, a good enough idea of what I thought that I could do when I got out, which is completely different than what I do now. But
right,
you never know.
At the moment, you were comfortable enough to go with the discomfort that you were feeling. Yeah, that makes sense. So tell me about that initial journey once you got out. You know, you're like, okay, this is a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to take this leap. I'm going to go. You jumped in. Then what happened?
I just went. I was without a job for, I guess, about a week. And we moved to the East Coast, where my ex was originally from. I'd never been to the East Coast before. Wasn't really sure if I would like it, but I ended up loving it. We're an hour away from New York City and a little bit further than that from Philadelphia. And it was just a whole world of opportunity. And so I went. There's a lot of pharmaceutical companies that are in the area. So I went to one that was close by, had a great reputation. It was a Fortune 100 company at the time. And I thought, you know, I'd love to work there. I think, you know, the stability there and the different things that you would get to see and work on were there. And so I did it. And I started a temporary assignment there. And a couple months later, I was offered a full-time position. And I stayed there for 10 years. But much like the military and that the variety of things that they had, you know, to work on, I just wanted to try everything. I started out in marketing. And I went kind of backwards through the supply chain. I worked for new products planning and then back to sourcing, doing contract negotiations and things like that. And none of which what I did in the military helped that. But I can tell you my attention to detail and some of the things that I did learn in the military really served me well outside of the military, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of civilian employers appreciate a veteran, because many times that attention to detail just stands out. There's a sense of discipline and pride and ownership in your work product that many veterans have that's quite attractive to the civilian sector. And I remember when I got out, you know, seeing just people in regular, you know, ordinary customer service positions thinking, wow, you must really hate your job because of the way that you're acting. It's like, how in the world can you be in customer service and be this rude, this unorganized? I mean, it was really hard for me because, you know, I was used to the military and, you know, S1 or the personnel department did this, and they had timelines to do this. And so, you know, it's a little bit different on the civilian sector. There's not an S1 department, or, you know, the human resources, you know, doesn't really have to appease me, and I can't go and call their commander. And, you know, but anyway, but it seems for you though, you know, though that skill set's really worked out for you. I mean, 10 years, that's nothing to sneeze at there. So what does life look like now?
Life now, so I'm no longer working in corporate. Mm-hmm. I'm an entrepreneur now.
Mm-hmm. I love the story. Okay, go ahead.
I left the corporate world when my husband and I were investing. Just in our area, in our community, we live in a great downtown area in Eastern Pennsylvania. And we just decided that we couldn't do both of our jobs and doing some of the flipping and rental property things that we were doing. And you might have thought that he would have been the one, you know, to go in that direction and manage those things, but it was actually me. And, you know, I loved the idea that I could put something out there and put my own spin on it. And I just had a can-do attitude that I thought that I could do it.
Love it.
I did that for about 2.5 years and got our properties up and running and, you know, minimally, you know, a lot of the stuff that you would need to keep those up and going were kind of processes and things that I learned how to put processes in place from the military and from corporate. And I was able to apply those and then things, you know, started to taper off and settle down. And then that's when I got into my business now, which is TaylorMade Polish. Mm-hmm. And that's been a wild ride for sure.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, what made TaylorMade Polish, of all the things that you have experienced in your years of living, like, why did that stand out? Where did that idea even come from?
Yeah, so the idea was, it was kind of a slow progression, you know, over the years of having my family and when my youngest is still pretty young, he's only 7, but my oldest is 20. And when he was younger, and then when I had my second and third son, I slowly was educating myself, trying to be a healthier person, not only for myself, but as a role model for them. And then I certainly, as a mother, wanted to be able to do the best that I could for them and give them the best start, you know, in life and choosing the right foods and the right, you know, personal care items. Even the more you read, the more you find out right, what type of chemicals are in these ingredients, these products, these all sorts of things. And from mm-hmm. your laundry detergent to your dish detergent. And we were slowly making, you know, all of these types of changes throughout our homes for, you know, a few years. But one of the things that I really kind of splurged on for myself after I was in the military and after I got out was getting my nails done. And it was something that I could do for me. And it made me feel, you know, feminine. And you don't have a lot of time to do stuff like that when you're a mom anyways. But those right. little things that you can kind of, you know, take the time out for yourself, they're important. And even though we were making all these other healthy choices, I just really didn't, first, I didn't really even think about it. Well, it can't be that bad. It's just on my nails, you know, and I had acrylics at the time. And we volunteered one time a week at an organic CSA farm, Mm-hmm. And I would show up with my big old long nails and fluorescent colors and it would stick out like a sore thumb. And so I, you know, I just went through kind of what was in the polish, what was in what I was putting on my nails. You know, I just, you have to come to terms with it at some point.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then it was pretty scary when you start reading some of the stuff that's out there. And I, you know, ended up taking my acrylic nails off and boy, it was really scary what was underneath there. I hadn't had my nails off in a really long time. And then that was enough to kind of give me a big wake up call. And I said, well, I've got to figure out how to get these back to health because they looked awful.
Yeah.
And so the first product I made was just kind of a home remedy cuticle oil to get my nails back healthy again. And then once I had done that, I did want to start wearing nail polish. I wanted to, you know, get back into the practice of that, but use something that was healthier. And there is still a lot of mislabeling that's happening in the beauty industry in general, but a lot in nail polish and nail care items. And it's, while it's regulated, it's not enforced. And so there's kind of some shady things that are going on in there. So I said, you know what, I feel like I could just kind of make something up myself. You know, there's always these little tidbits, these Pinterest tips, this, that, and the other. And so I said, you know, I'll just make myself a couple colors. You know, a couple colors turned into four turned into 30, 30 turned into 100.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. So you're managing properties, tearing them down, rebuilding them, and then going to go make nail polish. Like, you are so multifaceted. I adore you. I love this. With your polish, I know you just said, because I was going to ask you, that the industry is regulated, but sometimes the enforcement is lacking. You know, is this something as though you have to, you know, list the names of the ingredients in your polishes? Like, that's part of the regulatory process. Is that right?
That is right. That's correct.
Okay, gotcha. And so, you know, like, we can take multivitamins, for example, and, you know, people say, well, you have to have on the label what's in there, but if it's not, what was it, maybe, the F something something, I don't know, I forgot, but anyway, something along the lines of there's really no one to enforce compliance to some of the regulations that are in place. So I guess that's some of the shady stuff that you're talking about. It's like, you can have the rules all day, but if there's not really strong enforcement or even a body that's going to go in and enforce, then I guess there can be some of the shady guys that are there that's just kind of doing whatever, and that's supposed to be okay.
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
Mm. Oh, dear. So you went from making all these amazing polishes. Did you create a storefront, or did you just strictly sell online or Etsy or something like that?
So what I did was, so I was making the polishes out of my home, and it was something that I thought would be fun to do in a group. And it was, you know, it was fun as a hobby. It's kind of a DIY, but get, you know, my sister came, you know, from Texas on a trip, and, you know, I'm showing her what I'm doing, and you start to have fun with it. And I just miss that connection with people, and, you know, with women too. And this was a way that I thought that I could bring more people together. So I did a proof of concept in a salon. I just had one table and one shelf of all the different pigments and micas that we use to make the colors for the nail polishes, and just kind of developed a way to make the polish in kind of a, like, a class format. And I wanted to see, you know, what people thought. Is it a good idea? Is it not? And it seemed to be that it was, and people thought it was a great idea. And I've never had anybody say that they didn't enjoy themselves or didn't like doing it.
I love that.
You know, it's usually a fun experience. I have fun just connecting with the people who come in. I also, you know, like that that they like, that they can make something themselves. And I've mm-hmm. found so many times where people are like, oh, I don't want to, I'm too nervous, I'm going to pick the wrong color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nail polish. And then how happy they are when they leave that they made it, you know, they name the polish and whatnot. You know, you can tell that it, you know, it's good for them. You know, it's a healthy thing that they can do, a fun thing that they can do, and a good product that they can use. You can paint your pets, nails, or claws,
yeah.
on children, all those sorts of things. So it's a very usable product as well. So once it kind of, the concept was kind of growing with interest, I did open up a storefront. So I have an 1,800 square foot storefront in downtown Easton. And
that's
we're
big.
Able to, yeah, it's and it's great. And I thought it was so much space when we moved in. We officially opened the space in November of last year in 2017, and we've quickly filled it up. So we have three large tables now, but we're also able to offer just retail polishes when people want to come in and just buy, you know, a healthy polish for themselves. They can stop in, buy a nail polish. And then the other thing that we can also do is we make custom polish for businesses. So salons
nice.
That are looking for a healthier option, people who have retail boutiques that want to sell their own branded piece of you know, nail polish or beauty item, they can have something. We'll print the labels for them that has their logo on it, or, you know, a tagline or something like that. They can pick the color, they can create the color, and then we'll make it in small batches for them. So we do things as low as 10 bottles, as much as 1,000 bottles or more.
Oh my goodness. This is a production. Oh my goodness.
It is. It's been fun. And, you know, it's been, that's what, when you asked, you know, what does your life look like now? It's a roller coaster, and we get to do so many fun things. And, you know, you might be doing one thing one day and you change gears and you're doing something the next. You're doing a 4-year-old's birthday party one day and then you're filling a big order the next. But, you know, it's great.
I hope everyone that's listening can really understand now why I was so excited to talk about this and for you to share your story, because, I mean, you went from very humble beginnings to the military, out of the military, out of a marriage, into a completely different environment. You started working in a field, went all over the civilian world as far as jobs are concerned or departments that you can work in, then started flipping homes, and now we are a mega entrepreneur doing business internationally, and it started just a little while ago, you know, with this very humble start. And I mean, I just applaud you, because in all of this, your humility, it rings through. I mean, people will go to your website later on and they'll read more about you, because I'm going to put it in the show notes for sure. But, you know, I'm just in awe that you can do so much. You've accomplished so much. And, you know, it's not as though the military was, you know, the easiest journey for you, but you still persevered. You pushed, and you are continuing to push. I mean, 1,000 bottles of, oh my gosh, that's just, you know, that's not, we're not talking about you in your kitchen mixing up a concoction. We're talking about thousands of bottles for an order. Oh, Vanessa, hats off, honey. You are rocking it.
Thanks.
You are. I want you to just have a moment to just kind of, you know, bask in all of your awesomeness, because you're doing amazing things right now. And, you know, if nothing else, just know that sharing your story today is probably helping another woman veteran think, I might not be in the best situation now, but boy, there is, if I just had a little bit of hope, there is a future in store for me. Like that's the takeaway that I hope you at least get from this, because your story is just phenomenal.
Well, I would be over the moon if somebody could take any small part of anything that I've done and have any sort of hope. You know, it's easy to you know, not feel the confidence sometimes, even when you've accomplished something as great as, you know, being in the military, and it's not easy, especially as a woman,
mm-hmm.
You know, but you draw on that confidence, you draw on that accomplishment, to get you to the next step. And even now, you know, it's been many years,
mm-hmm.
Since I, you know, left the military, and there's times I think back, you know, the world can beat you up sometimes, and you just look back and it's kind of like, you know, I used to do a lot tougher stuff than this. This is cake. Just give me some perspective and let me get on with it.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I like that. So if you were to talk to a lady that was considering joining the military, what piece of advice would you give her?
Be better than the men.
Because many times, boy, don't you feel like you have to prove that? I mean,
you do. And as much as I avoided that concept, you know, and in even saying it out loud is kind of, I feel like you shouldn't have to say that. I feel like it shouldn't have to be that way. But even when you don't do well, you're criticized. When you do well, oh, well, she got that just because she's a woman, or she got noticed because of this. And then when you don't perform, you know, you get the same criticism. And it's like that in a lot of different ways, and out in the civilian world as well. You know, there's always a reason to judge or be judged, or so it seems. And I think, you know, just if you have that attitude, you know, and just always make sure your work is above par, you can persevere.
I think that's right. I think that is something my dad actually raised me and my sister. We're African American, and he raised me and my sister to believe or feel or have an attitude that you have to be at your peak and perform just a hint better than your peers in order to get just a glimpse of their recognition. And so I think, you know, that advice growing up with that kind of mentality kind of propelled me, or it stayed with me going into the military, because I saw that there, you know, being in a company or a platoon or a base squadron with a whole lot of males, and they could be shamming and slacking off, but the moment you do as the female, holy moly, now you're getting all kinds of criticism, like you were mentioning, and it's just like, but Joe Snuffy was doing that too. Well, you can't do that. That's just not an option for you as the woman. So I'm glad you spoke on that, because I think that is a very valid piece of info. It seems like a lot of pressure, but, you know, it just kind of is what it is. You know, don't go in there with a blindfold on, because you're really going to have to, you know, make sure that you can at least keep up, and if not, do better than the bulk of your male counterparts.
Your father is a very, very smart man, and I think that it is real, and it's just better to identify what it is, improve that if you ever have the opportunity. But for yourself, absolutely. You gotta perform a little better.
Well, I am hugging you through this podcast, because it has just been a really good time chatting with you. I appreciate you sharing so openly and freely with us today. And I guess I will leave you to, you know, continue being awesome for the rest of your day.
Well, thank you again so much for having me. This was great chatting with you. It's nice to get away from the polish sometimes too, and talk about fun stuff. And it was definitely a pleasure. So thank you so much, Raisha.
Oh, I love it. Okay, Sugar. Well, you have a wonderful evening.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Okay, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.